Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Just a simply terrible day out there. Flash flood watch continues in effect. A cold, drenching rain continues today. Temperatures hovering right around 50. Winds pick up out of the northeast, 10 to 20 miles per hour, adding insult to injury. The rain tapers off later on this evening, and then breezy, much colder tonight. Overnight low temperature in the mid-30s by morning. Friday, tomorrow, breezy, cold, high 51, but sunshine is back. That's nice. The low temperature Friday night will be in the upper 20s. Saturday's high around 58, so cool sunshine, but at least it's dry. And then low 60s Sunday, maybe some more rain by Sunday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. The Alabama Senate Judiciary Committee approved a medical marijuana bill by an 8-1 vote yesterday. The bill would allow people to be prescribed medical marijuana for 15 conditions, including cancer, anxiety, and chronic pain. The proposal now moves to the Alabama Senate floor for debate. Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed is speaking out against a bill that would impact the city's ability to pass an occupational tax. Mayor Reed and nine other mayors signed an open letter in protest of the bill. This comes as the Montgomery City Council voted 5-3 to pass a 1% occupational tax Tuesday night. And Crime Stoppers needs your help finding a man wanted for assaulting a police officer. The Lowndes County Sheriff's Office is now looking for 25-year-old Stanley Perdue Jr. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Grab a pen and paper, because in just a second, I'm going to give you a very important phone number. Now, while you're getting your stuff together, let me tell you about my friend David Ernest. David's an asset preservationist, and you might not know what that means. David is the guy that's going to help you keep your money. That's right, you've been saving for retirement, and it'll be here before you know it. And the stock market can go up, and it can go down. But down is a word that is not in David's vocabulary. I checked with him, and it's just not in there. Neither is the word flabbergasted, but that's a different story altogether. You need to call David Ernest today. 279-7431. Call David Ernest. Set up an appointment. There's no obligation. Won't cost you a dime. 279-7431. Call David Ernest today. And if the word flabbergasted comes up in the conversation, well, my bad.
Noble here with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Get a complete heating and cooling system for just $69 a month. But hurry, there are limited quantities available. Visit calldixie.com.
Call Dixie and it's done.
License number 15033.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Thursday. Thumbs up Thursday. See a law enforcement officer, give them a big thumbs up. 272-9228, also known as TGIFE, 272-9228. Any call can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies that you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Great place to go, folks. Great place. The that chocolate fudge, goat milk fudge, it is outstanding. Then last night, I did the debate like I do a football or basketball game. I had guacamole, I had queso, I had salsa, I had chips and nachos with steak cut on it. But it was great. Ooh. It was great. Had a little leftover chili that I used on the little side dish out there with my queso in it. I was having so much fun last night. It was like watching a SEC championship game, you know?
There you go.
Also, Fresh Market is doing something different this week, where they have the Chuck and Cluck, which is the ground chuck for $3.99, and the chicken, skinless chicken breasts that are there, and I think they're $2.99. They're doing it all week instead of only on Tuesday. And then today is the roaster chicken for $5. I dropped by and saw that. Those are really good. That's a bargain. They're normally $7.99. You're going to get, you can feed a family of four, but for me, I can eat on that thing like for a week. I mean, I'm doing chicken and rice and gravy, chicken sandwich, taking chicken and cutting it up on salad, feeding the neighbor's dog chicken. Everybody gets chicken. Mailman gets chicken. Everybody gets chicken. So Fresh Market has got that going, along with the New York Strip prime and premium steaks on sale this week. So take, oh, I had the shrimp too. $11.99 a pound. You count about 25 to 30. I got a half a pound. It was right at $6, and it was great. They and get the Fresh Market cocktail sauce. It's really good quality for the price. I had that along with everything else last night. It was really good. Had butter and then cocktail sauce dipping into it. It was like a feast watching this debate last night. Seb, I wish it would have started a little bit earlier. Let's go to the dials here. And this is the lady, Lee Carter from Fox, that we're talking about the dials and talking about Elizabeth Warren last night.
Democrats go head-to-head in Vegas for the ninth round of primary debates, the first for Michael Bloomberg, as President Trump rallies supporters in nearby Arizona. So what were the top moments and how did Americans react? Here with Maura Carter as you join us. Let's start off with Elizabeth Warren right now, because she came out swinging last night, specifically against Michael Bloomberg and wanting him to release non-disclosure agreements. Listen to this.
And I hope you heard what his defense was. I've been nice to some women. He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements, both for sexual harassment and for gender discrimination in the workplace. So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
Yikes. This was a very memorable moment, and Democrats gave it a B+, independents a C, Republicans a D. So here's the question. Is this going to help Elizabeth Warren? Is this going to hurt Bloomberg? I think what's going to come out of this is that it's going to have hurt Bloomberg and not so much help Elizabeth Warren. It's going to give her a little bit of a pickup, because I think one of the things that people want to see is, can my candidate take on Donald Trump? I think a lot of people are going to watch this and be like, wow, she's tough. I could see her on the debate stage against Trump. Is it going to be a huge lift in polls? Not enough to have an impact for her. She's sinking.
I'm surprised Republicans went D there.
They don't want Elizabeth Warren to be president. Yeah. She just doesn't resonate with them. And, you know, yes, do they want people to be called out on these kinds of things? Absolutely. But Elizabeth Warren isn't going to be somebody that's going to get them across the aisle.
Okay, so
I agree,
too. I think that that hurt Bloomberg more than it helped Elizabeth. Same thing with Bernie. I think it hurt Bloomberg. Didn't necessarily, that was just right in Bernie's wheelhouse. That's what Bernie does. It's going to be interesting, because we've always talked about Bernie having a cap, and it seems as Elizabeth is fading, Bernie is going up. We cited some of the polls, and people in South Carolina kind of going, okay, well, maybe Bernie's not so bad. And when you look at the shift to Stiers and to Klobuchar and stuff like that, I think that's the drop in Biden. And then people are kind of going, okay, well, we're not going to go with Elizabeth, we'll go with Bernie. He seems a little kind of funny and, you know, somewhat likable kind of guy. And so they're kind of staying with that. So now let's stay with the dials here, talking about Michael Bloomberg.
Let's talk about Michael Bloomberg. Continue to talk about Michael Bloomberg, but this time him on being able to defeat President Trump. Listen to this.
I'm a New Yorker. I know how to take on an arrogant con man like Donald Trump that comes from New York. I'm a manager. I knew what to do after 9/11 and brought the city back stronger than ever. And I'm a philanthropist who didn't inherit his money, but made his money. And I'm spending that money to get rid of Donald Trump, the worst president we have ever had.
I guess no surprise here with the polls.
It takes one to know one. I'm not exactly sure what his whole message there was. Democrats gave it a B-, independents a C, Republicans an F, not surprised about Republicans. He needed to make his case last night. He needed to show up and say, this is why I'm here. I'm here to play. Here's my story. Saying that I'm a New Yorker, so I can take him on, and I've done all these, it just didn't resonate. He didn't have his standout moment. He was dry. His delivery wasn't very compelling, and people weren't excited by him.
The understatement of the year was just said in that last sentence. Okay, so now Mayor Pete, see how he does.
Everyone took shots at him, including Pete Buttigieg. Listen to this.
Most Americans don't see where they fit if they've got to choose between a socialist who thinks that capitalism is the root of all evil and a billionaire who thinks that money ought to be the root of all power. Let's put forward somebody who actually lives and works in a middle-class neighborhood in an industrial Midwestern city. Let's put forward somebody who's actually a Democrat.
It was a good line. Good Democrats line. Gave it a B, independents a C, Republicans a D. What you can see here is there's a lack of enthusiasm on voters on any side about this. You're not seeing Democrats really excited. You're not seeing Republicans really repelled. You're not seeing independents move over to the side of anybody. This was not a good debate for Democrats because nobody's mind was changed. They were just taking each other down, taking each other out, and nobody was really getting energized by it.
Interesting. Okay, so she says in key words there, nobody's being energized about it. Nobody's like jumping up and down and saying, oh yeah, that's my guy. They're, and for to be getting B's among your Democrat hopefuls, the Democrat voters out there, that's not good.
Yeah, both you and I found this debate incredibly entertaining, especially, you know, being political junkies like we are. However, I think that what got lost is any sort of coherent message or vision or alternative to Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's well, what they did, I noticed one thing they did. They've been bashing Donald Trump every single debate. What they did is they changed the bashing Donald Trump to bashing each other. And the reason they're doing that is they're running out of time. They know they're about to hit it into Super Tuesday. And if they don't do well on Saturday and in a debate, and they're not moving themselves on national polls, then this show's over and the monkey's dead. There's no formula for success, particularly with Bernie at the top. They do know we can go knock out Bloomberg, and maybe that's going to help us out. I thought it was interesting that Biden didn't move on the Bloomberg stuff. He only had one little assault on him, and that was it. And they've got to get out of the way now. But where is the excitement going here? So we're going to do a piece that's going to be talking about Trump versus Democrats. Listen in.
Go ahead to a little clip here of the president as he slams Mike Bloomberg.
Now they have a new member of the crew, Mini Mike.
Mini Mike.
No boxes. We call him No Box. He spent $500 million so far, and I think he has 15 points. DNC is going to take it away from Bernie again, and that's okay because we don't care who the hell it is. We're going to win.
So here's the thing. Republicans gave this a B+, independents a C+, Democrats an F. Not surprising how Democrats are reacting. What I'm looking for is enthusiasm in voters. The highest we saw independents go all night was at the Trump rally. Obviously, the highest we saw Republicans go all night was for the president. But I'm watching those independents, and they seem to...
They don't know yet.
They don't know.
Yeah.
And they seem to be more excited by what the president is saying than what any of the Democrats are saying. And that is not good for any of the folks that were on the debate stage last night.
And that's an important factor, is that what we talked about, the momentum indicator in 2016, that the momentum indicator was with Donald Trump all along. There's much more excitement. I clearly see that for Trump. And I'm not talking just people here in Alabama, but around. The excitement level, when I watched that that rally that they did in Phoenix, I looked at what they did in Nevada and in Las Vegas on Wednesday night. That's just brilliant stuff. Then he was in California. I mean, he is taking the game to them, and he's staying ahead of them. Let them do it where they're supposed to be getting a lot of news, and you're making news in their media markets where they're trying to have an influence on it. That was brilliant to do Las Vegas, brilliant, because he owned the media that Wednesday night before the debate. And I think he is going to do well in Nevada. And I think the Democrats are going to have a surprisingly low turnout. That's what we're going to be looking at, is how is the turnout doing for this. You had a slight increase in New Hampshire, roughly 20,000 votes, but that basically is the independents who would have normally voted in a Republican primary ended up voting in a Democrat primary, and I think that was the difference. But then also, the largest number of votes to any incumbent candidate, not without opposition, was Donald Trump, and I mean by a long shot, almost 2-1 to Obama and Clinton and Bush. Okay, let me go to a break. Dan Moore Show, we'll reload. Come back right after this.
The Dan Moore Show. News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Do you ever wonder why some companies have built such a solid quality brand while others struggle with their quality of service? It's simple. It's all about the company culture. If ownership takes quality care of their team members, then their sales, admin, and service techs take pride in treating their customers with exemplary service. This is what happens when you use Weedman of Greater Montgomery. Hi, this is Terry. Our local management and co-ownership team of twins, Grant and Kyle Falk, give you double the caring attitude towards you, the customer. Actually, our customers say it best. Linda A. says, "We've used Weedman for 3 years. I would encourage anyone ready to change services and looking for a dependable lawn care service to give Weedman a try." Nicole S. gushes, "Weedman saved my lawn. It was horrible after years of another company going through the motions. Now my yard looks as good as the neighbor's, who obsesses over his yard." Thanks, Nicole. Go to WeedmanUSA.com today for a free price quote. Lawn care companies are not all alike. Our caring culture sets us apart. Go to WeedmanUSA.com today.
If you live or work in the downtown area and need vehicle maintenance, C-Square Performance Automotive is now open, servicing vehicles from the high end to the low end, from brakes to motors and transmissions, oil changes, and more. C-Square can handle it, including all brands of tires. We offer financing options, including no credit check financing. If you work or live in the downtown area, stop in and see Chris Bowers, Master Automotive Diesel Mechanic, Duke Jones, Heather Walker, and Ricky Adams. C-Square offers free pickup and delivery in the downtown area. You will trust us, and your car will love us. C-Square Performance Automotive, 715 Madison Avenue.
Hey, this is Todd with River Region Contracting. Most people know us as a premier roofing company with satisfied customers all over the state of Alabama. What you might not know is we also install seamless gutters. Seamless gutters are more affordable than you think. We have competitive pricing and colors to match your home. If you are in the market for seamless gutters, call us to set up an appointment for a free estimate today at 334-356-8635. That's 334-356-8635. Or go to riverregioncontracting.com or like us on Facebook.
Hey, have you heard about what's happening at Wind Creek Casino and Hotel?
No, but I've heard it's the coolest casino and hotel ever.
Well, now, if you join Wind Creek Rewards, they'll reimburse you with free play for up to $1,000.
They'll give me back as much as $1,000?
I know, right? They call it the New Player Promise, and they'll also throw in some free food so we don't go hungry.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go to Wind Creek Casino and Hotel.
New members only. Minimum $75 loss required. Visit windcreek.com for complete rules.
While you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and the Depot Furniture Gallery are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Bring your donations to the Depot Furniture Gallery located inside Prattville Pickers. The Depot Furniture Gallery has the best selection of rustic furniture in the River Region. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can from Blue Water Broadcasting and the Depot Furniture Gallery.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV. Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are.
Because I love it too much.
Reminder, Tommy Tuberville is going to be in studio at 2 o'clock today.
Why can't you see?
Your questions, comments, and viewpoint.
What you doing to me? When you don't believe.
Now, David alluded to this and talked about Morning Joe. So what we're going to do is start out with David Plouffe. A Morning Joe, cut number one. We're not going to do the montage right now. And what it is, they did kind of a montage of the kind of the arguments parts of things. And then the first question goes to David Plouffe.
Senator Warren went scorched earth on nearly all of her Democratic rivals last
except
night.
Except for Bernie. David, what a night.
Whoa.
It was quite a debate. Give us your takeaways.
Well, first of all, I know you guys talked a little bit about this in the last hour. I think it's important to remind people, those candidates' job is not to prosecute Donald Trump last night. Theirs is to win the nomination. I've been through these debates before for president. The people who are going to decide the general election are not tuned in right now. So I think it's wrong to say Trump got let off the hook. We should feel bad about the party. There are maybe other reasons we should feel bad. Second of all, what matters now is not how people like us judge it, quite frankly, because we're going to see evidence very soon in actual votes. And so the question is, who advantaged themselves in Nevada, South Carolina, and Super Tuesday, and who didn't? So I think the front runner largely leaves unscathed. So it was a good night for Bernie Sanders. Elizabeth Warren, I'm sure, has provided additional momentum into her campaign financially. Maybe it's going to help her in Nevada. I think Joe Biden had one of his best nights. Obviously, Michael Bloomberg was the man behind the $500 million. And I was not surprised that he struggled last night, but it was pretty gruesome to watch, particularly the first hour. So does that mean that his candidacy is on life support? Of course not, with the amount of money he's spending. But if he has another bad debate next week in South Carolina, I don't think he can afford two of them. We have to see a different Michael Bloomberg next week. So, listen, over a million people have voted in California. Early votes starting in Texas. Half the votes already in Nevada. So that benefits the people who are doing well in the race. And right now, Bernie Sanders, there was a poll in California this week, which I'm sure the actual results will not mirror that totally. He was the only one that was viable statewide. He was at 32. Everybody else is under 15. It means he would get all the statewide delegates. So at the end of the day, on the morning of March 4th, as we're still counting votes and delegates, if somebody has not emerged as someone who's getting into 25, 28, 29, who can be a real contender, Bernie Sanders in all likelihood is the nominee unless it gets taken from him at the convention. So that's the way I judge this debate, who is on a trajectory. And I don't think we know, because I think you've got a bunch of people who are still carving up a bunch of vote. And the question is, in the next 2 weeks, is that going to change?
Okay. Now, one of the things I do is I like to take, I listen to this stuff so you don't have to, but I like to take somebody who's a known Democrat, very successful operative. David Plouffe certainly fits that role. And hear how he's talking about. Very, not this crazy, Trump is awful, this kind of stuff. Very pragmatic, looking at it through willful life political lens. And I think you got a very honest answer from him. And one of the fine points I take away from that is he cannot have two bad ones in a row. So if the debate is next Tuesday, which I think it is, he better be remarkably different than he was last night. And if he's not, then you can't buy a personality change. You can't get a you may have a whole bunch of money, but it doesn't mean that they have to like you for it. So let's stay with David Plouffe on Sanders and delegates here. Listen in.
But you look at everybody, David, last night that were carving each other up. Bernie, again, for the most part, was unscathed. If he's the guy right now in pole position and has the momentum, has a wind at his back, is doing so well in these polls in California and other states, it's more likely than not, is it not, that a couple of weeks from now, Bernie Sanders is, you know, just may well have this thing locked down?
Well, unless something fundamentally changes, and that would mean Bernie Sanders' vote share would have to drop precipitously, and I don't think we see any evidence of that. Or somebody, and I think at this point it's more likely to have to be one person than two, emerges not from like where they are, 14 or 15, but to 25-26. He's going to exit Super Tuesday with, if not an insurmountable pledge delegate lead, a significant one. So that's why the question Chuck Todd asked last night was so important. Bernie Sanders, maybe not surprisingly, said, hey, whoever's the pledge delegate leader should be the nominee. Every other candidate refused to say that. Yeah. And listen, if we go into the convention, Bernie Sanders has 1,400 delegates, let's say, and someone else has 1,350, I think it's fair that we're going to have a debate in Milwaukee. But if Bernie Sanders walks into the convention with a delegate lead in the hundreds, and he's got all the support from young people in particular, we're really going to have the party bosses come in and say, hey, you know what, thanks for playing. You did the best. We're going to give it to somebody else. So I think that was really revealing, because I think the rest of the field thinks Bernie Sanders is going to lead in the delegates in all likelihood.
And that's where you end up with the bloodbath, is that scenario right there. And again, here you have a known, he ran the Obama campaigns of 08 and 12. He's a known commodity, very, very smart guy. Anytime I can see him on C-SPAN or NPR or something like that, I always catch him. If I find a video of him, I always listen to him because he's got some really good things to say here. Let me go to a break. Dan Moore Show, we're going to be back right after this.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing?
Dan Morris Show.
We can't go on together with suspicious minds.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The conservative outsider for U.S. Congress in Alabama's 2nd Congressional District is Jeff Coleman.
Well, the campaign's almost over, and charges are flying. But here's the truth. The United States military still uses our moving services all around the world, every single day, and has for 70 years. I'm looking past partisan politics to support our military and help President Trump build that wall.
Jeff Coleman's the real deal conservative in this race. He's been endorsed by the Alabama Farmers Federation, the Business Council of Alabama, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He's a conservative businessman, not a politician. And Jeff refuses to play political games.
Tiff and I have loved meeting you, and I'd sure appreciate your vote.
Absolutely.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message, paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
Hello, this is Yasmin Holston with Beauty and Beyond. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for 10 years plus. If you would like to increase your business, use Blue Water Broadcasting radio stations. They get results.
Radio advertising works. Our advertisers swear by it. Call Blue Water Broadcasting if you want to find out how we can increase your sales and bottom line. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. It's a 3-year, 4-month prison sentence for Roger Stone, the former Trump advisor convicted of several felonies coming out of the Russia probe. He remains free for now.
Roger Stone's team is asking for a new trial because they argue that a jury foreperson is biased against Republicans, against President Trump, against Roger Stone, and did not share that bias.
Fox's David Spun in Washington. President Trump complains that Stone's been treated unfairly. Four prosecutors resigned when their harsher sentencing recommendation was reversed. White House Deputy National Security Advisor Victoria Coates is being moved to the Department of Energy.
The move comes amid unfounded rumors that Coates is the author of an Inside the White House tell-all book called A Warning by an anonymous White House official. Coates has served as National Security Advisor for the Middle East and North Africa. The publisher of the book, A Warning, has denied that Coates is the author.
John Decker at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Caravita Village. Mom and Dad don't have to be lonely. They're a community built on relationships. Visit Caravita Village today.
Rich Thomas.
Christmas weather.
Just a simply terrible day out there. Flash flood watch continues in effect. A cold, drenching rain continues today. Temperatures hovering right around 50. Winds pick up out of the northeast, 10 to 20 miles per hour, adding insult to injury. The rain tapers off later on this evening, and then breezy, much colder tonight. Overnight low temperature in the mid-30s by morning. Friday, tomorrow, breezy, cold, high 51, but sunshine is back. That's nice. The low temperature Friday night will be in the upper 20s. Saturday's high around 58, so cool sunshine, but at least it's dry. And then low 60s Sunday, maybe some more rain by Sunday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
My... 272-9228, that's where we are. Okay, the next cut here for Morning Joe is actually a reporter who's on the ground in Las Vegas, who's actually there in the arena. Having been to a debate before, what you see on TV and what it's like in the room are two different things. Because you're picking up the vibe in the room of the different candidates. And I think it's interesting some of the things that she says, because what we saw of Bloomberg on TV, I think it probably felt different in the room, and it probably felt worse, believe it or not, because you couldn't take your eyes off of him. You, when the camera would move away from him, I kind of like want to say, go back, go back, go back. I want to see what he's doing while he's being, you know, blown apart by Amy Klobuchar or something like that. So let's listen to this on-the-ground report talking about the debate last night, and Bernie in particular.
So, Adrian Elrod, you're there in Las Vegas, the site of the debate last night. Obviously, a lot of eyes were on Mike Bloomberg. People described him as the Wizard of Oz. He stepped out from behind the curtain, and people got their first view of him, got to watch him interact and take heat from other people in a way they haven't, because he's controlled the narrative through his ads, $300, $400 million worth of them. He had a terrible first hour. There's no getting around that. Elizabeth Warren tore him to bits. She had a strong night. What were your big takeaways as you watched those 2 hours?
I was very surprised by Mike Bloomberg's somewhat poor performance, because his campaign has been making it clear that he's been working on doing a lot of debate prep over the past few weeks. And, you know, this has been his big moment that we've all been waiting for. I think a lot of Democrats, however, expected Mike Bloomberg to come out as sort of like our knight in shining armor, especially since Joe Biden's numbers have gone down. They've been looking for that strong, moderate voice, although I would certainly argue we have plenty of strong, moderate voices who are still in the primary. But of course, he's got the money behind his back to sort of, you know, save the party and save the moderate wing of the Democratic Party. He didn't quite accomplish that last night. He had a bunch of moments on that stage, of course, especially the exchange with Elizabeth Warren over the NDAs that really showed that he's pretty rusty in terms of his debate skills and has some work to do. But I do think that he has some strong moments on policy. Of course, through his philanthropic work, he's done a number of things, including, of course, a big focus on climate change. You could tell when the climate change issue came to him, he has a very strong command on the issues when it comes to the work that he's done in the philanthropic space. But I was surprised by that. I thought Joe Biden had an incredibly strong night, especially compared to previous performances. But, you know, when we're talking about all of this, going back to what David Plouffe just said, I mean, right now you've got four moderates that are splitting the moderate vote. And several of those moderates are polling under 15%, which means on Super Tuesday, they may not pick up delegates. Bernie Sanders, therefore, because of that, is the strong winner of last night's debate, because he is still the front runner by a wide margin. The four moderates, nobody really emerged from that pack to stand out in terms of being able to be the moderate voice of this process. And, you know, like David said, a lot of the talk last night among some of my Democratic strategist friends was focused on, are we going to have a protracted convention? Is this going to go to a floor fight in July? And I think if Bernie Sanders comes out of Super Tuesday with a strong lead in the delegates, analogous, it's going to be really hard to catch him.
That was pretty good. And actually, this is the way this thing is starting to shape up here. And, you know, back a long time ago, when you look at the map and you look at Bernie, before Bernie started kind of teetering a little bit, but then he kind of got his wind back. But if you take that old Bernie, we were saying, once you get to California and the way his numbers work out and Biden doesn't, he starts really doing some damage to folks. And then if you get Bernie and then Bloomberg in Florida, for example, they both do really well, but they split stuff. And they end up, Amy Klobuchar never can catch up. They mathematically cannot catch up. Biden certainly can't catch up because he's in worse shape than she is. So unless Biden comes out with something big in these next two contests, I just don't see him getting very much, except for maybe at Texas. But actually, Sanders is leading in Texas right now by 3 polls. Again, it's not the number, it's the trend line, and I see that trend line happening for him. Okay, so now Nicole Wallace, and I turned over to MSNBC, and she was on a panel. She does this kind of goodbye from this one last night, but they're going to kind of set it up, and then it's going to be what she said post-debate before they signed off.
Yeah, it certainly right now, if things keep moving the way they're moving, doesn't look like any protracted floor fight. It looks like actually a Bernie Sanders nomination. Mika, what's so interesting last night is Elizabeth Warren was attacking everybody on the stage except for Bernie Sanders. So yeah, you had the moderates attacking the moderates. And then you had the one person that could be in from Bernie Sanders' wing of the party also attacking all the moderates last night. So again, Bernie couldn't have played that out, couldn't have hoped for a better debate night than he had last night.
Well, our colleague Nicole Wallace shared her thoughts with us on the debate before she signed off last night. Take a look.
Hi, guys. So aside from the obvious clashes and flashes of anger that these candidates displayed really more forcefully than they had in any other debate, something that's probably overdue and will help sift through this more intense phase as we barrel toward Super Tuesday, there's a real structural question about whether or not this Democratic field is starting to mirror, and in not good ways, the 2016 Republican field, where you have a very strong front runner in Bernie Sanders, the way someone we all know and cover solidified his position as a front runner very early in the Republican primary. And then all the heat, all the action, some of the most real heated debates and attacks and responses to attacks took place in that moderate lane, if you will. And what was interesting to me is that Elizabeth Warren seems to want to play in that lane too. So it's getting very crowded there. And I think the next phase, the phase will start covering the coming weeks, is whether or not they should coalesce, whether there should be a lesson learned from 2016, what happened on the Republican side with the campaigns of people like Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and others, is whether or not that moderate vote, which is still the majority of Democratic votes, it's for someone other than the Democratic Socialist, Bernie Sanders, whether that should start coalescing around two or even one Bernie alternative.
I'm not a big fan of Nicole Wallace, but actually she stumbled into the truth there. Papa B, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Dan and Joey.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Doing excellent.
Good.
So, I got some terrible news, though, man. Terrible, terrible news.
I'm sorry to hear that.
My doctor has told me that I've got the type of diabetes where animal fats block the insulin. So
you're going to be steakless, huh?
No meat, no cheese, no butter. What kind of life is this?
Yeah.
We're gonna
have to put you on a suicide watch here.
That's why I just told her. I said, look, I mean, the only thing that came to mind initially was, you know, paraphrasing Blazing Saddles in the office. I said, Doc, I'm not a wabbit. I need some meat.
Well, I tell you something, Papa B, that I've learned from that is did he suggest a diet other than a diet where you're not doing those things? Did he suggest a diet of like protein and shakes and things like that?
No, any kind of meat or dairy product is supposedly out now, okay? And at first I wanted to, you know, argue with him, but then I started doing it and blame it. It's working. So I guess it was right after all. I mean, I love the guy, but he's a flip-flop wearing hippie, okay? He's a vegetarian, and he's had to go through this too. And, you know, he lost a bunch of weight and got his, you know, lifestyle adjusted and everything. So he's out there spreading the gospel of this vegetarian lifestyle. So
yeah, and let me tell you, I would take another, because I had a friend, very close friend, that had something similar. Got diagnosed with diabetes, did the diabetes test, was marginal, on the line, went in and did exercise and protein drinks, and wouldn't not have meat, would have it like once a week. And what happened is they got their blood pressure under control, they got their weight under control, therefore they got the diabetes under control. So be careful with these people that is just, you know, oh, yeah, you got to stop doing all this, because if you can drop some pounds, that will take the pressure off of you. And that's what happened. They lost, I think, went from 220 to 190 and just healthy as a horse now.
Well, I think that's probably, in fact, exactly what's going to happen. So, you know, but I was always kind of mystified because I was doing keto. And I had moderate success with it, but I had to keep on upping the insulin dosage. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I mean, I'm about drinking the blame insulin here, and it's not working anymore. So that apparently is what it is. So anyway, but no, I'm not going to completely deny myself.
Well, when you were doing the keto diet, when you're doing the diet, tell me what you were doing with it.
Oh, well, I was just doing carbs. I was, not doing carbs.
Right, so you were doing, like, eggs and bacon and that kind of stuff?
Right, any kind of meats, any kind of veggies.
Yeah.
I was getting my carbs through veggies and stuff. So,
right, bread, and that's, and that, rice, and no, actually that what he's help. Right, you, because then it becomes a blocker. He's exactly right with that. It becomes a blocker. That's why if you'll do protein drinks, you're getting the protein, but you're not getting the animal fat and the meat fat, and because this is what he described is exactly right. Some people, when you do the bacon and the steaks and the meats, it becomes a blocker, and so then your insulin has to pop up. But if you do protein drinks, I think you'll find that it'll become normal. How often do you test yourself?
Yeah. Oh, couple, three times a day.
Do you do the patch thing?
No. I do a little clicker sticker.
You do?
Meter. So.
That little patch thing that you put up to your phone, the thing that you put up to your phone is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. My mom actually does that. But anyway, I don't know. Y'all don't want to hear all about this.
Let me tell you something. Your health is very, very important. Matter of fact, I had a cancer conversation with somebody yesterday after the show. It's very, very important, but there are different ways to approach a problem. Doctors are not always right, and they're never God.
Yeah. That's right. Well, you know, I've got it coming from both sides of the family, so it only kind of made sense that I was going to have to deal with it eventually. And I think I was probably diabetic, you know, really had diabetic symptoms and everything a long time before it was actually diagnosed. So, you know, but I'm getting it. I'm doing it.
Are you exercising at all?
I exercise. Absolutely. Yeah, I do. And I mean, I don't exercise as much as I need to probably, but, you know, 3 days a week, sometimes every day I do a little program. It's what I call my Pilates. It's three times a week it's a weight program, and then twice a week it's a cardio type thing. So,
yeah. Well, anyway. Somebody just texted me, keto is and I agree with this, is kind of bad for you. But that's where the protein drinks and things like that can erase that. And you're getting, you're getting the same, particularly if you're lifting weights, you're, like Joey, you're on protein now, aren't you?
Yeah.
And so Joey's doing serious weightlifting, but for me, if I work out twice a week, I do protein drinks and do my cardio and weights, and then I can have steak once a week, and my weight will not change, and my cholesterol and everything is great.
Yeah. Well, another thing is you can't actually get ketoacidosis, which
right.
is a bad thing for diabetics.
Yeah.
That really, I mean, I've heard of people die from that.
Yeah, that's why you're supposed to do the pH stick.
Right. Joey,
mm-hmm.
I noticed you were playing, we're caught in a trap, and if I didn't know better, I would say your cynical side is showing that you were kind of using that to needle the Democrat Party.
Oh, no,
Joey would never do that.
I think that song, Suspicious Minds, like a broken codependent relationship, really defines our politics for the last few years, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, indeed. It does. I did watch some of it. I didn't watch all of it, but I did watch some of it. And I think Elizabeth Warren was trying to restart, recapture a moderate type of lane there, but it's already crowded. And I don't think she can recapture that at all. So I think you're right, and other people have been right about this. She did not help herself more than she harmed Bloomberg. And the harm that she did to Bloomberg did not, redound to her favor. It more split up back toward Buttigieg and Klobuchar. So I think Warren's done, and it's just a matter of time for her. But, how long are these people going to hang on? Warren, Klobuchar, Buttigieg, how long do they hold on? Even Biden?
Well,
when is the dropout?
Money is the key. If Elizabeth raised $2.5-3 million last night after the debate, and that's enough to keep her going. But then what happens, campaigns run off success and money. So if you don't have success and you don't have money, you're out of business. So when she stops having success and she stops getting money, then she's done. I think Joe is, particularly when you look at his ad buys, I think he's running out of money, and he's not feeling the love from people.
Well, I mean, you got an attrition time too here. What are they going to maybe hold on with a handful of delegates, a dozen or so, and go on into the convention, limp on into convention?
Well, but if you limp in,
enough money or what?
Well, when you have Super Tuesday, having been involved in something like that, you got to have money to get around in that. You can't go off your looks and good name.
Right.
So if you don't have money and you're not talking, for example, California, you could go do events all day long in California, and you've got to have media. You need media buys to get that done.
And
if you don't have if you don't have $15 million to throw in media in California, you can't play.
So what's Dan's prediction after Super Tuesday? Do we have, like, a Walking Dead dropout of some?
Yeah, I think Joe Biden, the thing is going to be, and you'll hear this terminology a lot, what is the path to success for candidate A, B, C, and D? In other words, what is the path for success for Biden? And if you cannot see a clear path, then Biden is going to be toast. Can't see a clear path for Amy. Amy's toast. She may be the Walking Dead, but she's gonna be toast.
What about Buttigieg?
Buttigieg is kind of. I personally think he's kind of looking at a number two slot, but the problem is number two with whom? Because I'm not sure Bernie and Pete could jive too well. I'm not sure Bernie and anybody can jive too well. Except for maybe Elizabeth, and maybe that's why they've got this non-aggression pact.
gracious goodness, Lord, save us from, deliver us from that kind of evil.
Oh, man, that would be an awesome ticket.
Oh, man.
What we would do is put the scarlet L on their forehead. Papa B, I have got to go, my friend. I'm up against the break. And be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Wipers squeaking and streaking? Now's the time to change your wipers and get ready for those spring showers. We've got the deals to help you prep your ride. Right now, if you buy two Bosch Envision wiper blades, you'll get a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail or email. And next time, you can get what you need even faster. Just order online at AutoZone.com with our free same-day store pickup. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The following statement is from a bartender who claims to have worked at Hulu's reality TV house party.
So, it's 11 a.m. on a Monday and my entire stash of champagne is already gone. Derek Huff is going on about his Wi-Fi barbecue. Darcy Silva is living her best life in the photo booth. The Masked Singer is wolfing down all the catering. I can't make mimosas fast enough. And then someone spills an entire tray of food all over the floor.
Reality or not, we'll never know. What we do know, Hulu has reality TV. Start your free trial today. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
Don't forget, we have Tommy Tuberville in studio at 2 o'clock. Should be an interesting interview. Jonathan Lanier on Bloomberg with Morning Joe this morning.
Jonathan Lemire, you know, we've talked an awful lot about Elizabeth Warren going after Bloomberg, Elizabeth Warren going after everybody else, and she was on fire.
Yes.
I said that she borrowed, on Twitter last night, I said she borrowed, I think it was a blowtorch, but I think it was flamethrower from DiCaprio. It was just, she was on fire last night, but there was another skirmish, and it got really personal. Like Amy and Mayor Pete, man, they don't like each other.
Stop the ad. Stop that, so I can, because I've got to do this for my good friends Paul and Christian Mello. I want to tell you a story about them, and this just kind of shows how good they are and what they can do for you. Paul and Christian with Wallace and Moody Realty met with some sellers a few weeks ago and previewed their house with them in Silver Hills North in Prattville. That's where Jim lives in. They made suggestions and offered their expert advice to the seller, how to get the house ready to sell, what they made as far as recommendations, and then the seller did those. They carefully looked at the price based on the current market conditions and came up with a realistic price to sell. They had professional pictures done, virtual tour, and drone video made of the house. Then they unleashed their marketing plan and got the word out about the house. Ready for this? They got the seller an immediate offer over the seller's asking price after only 1 day on the market. 1 day. Now, that is what I call results-driven realty. And that's what Christy and Paul can do for you and for your home. What is it going to cost you to call them? Nothing. Give them a call. Skip Zillow. Call Mello. Paul and Christy Mello. 399-7648. See what they can do for you in selling your home. Skip Zillow. Call Mello. 399-7648. I've known them on a personal basis for many, many, many years. They are spectacular. Let's go back and finish this up here.
So, yes, much better. There are a few takeaways here. First of all, about Senator Warren, yes, she was pure fire last night. This was someone who has been this sort of the unity candidate to this point, the Democrat who was most reluctant to criticize her peers. And last night, there was not that at all. Yes, she didn't deliver as many blows to Bernie Sanders, but to everyone else, she tore apart, and it really eviscerated Mike Bloomberg in a couple of different moments. The tension between Buttigieg and Klobuchar has been obvious for weeks, simmering below the surface, and it really bubbled up last night where Klobuchar at one point even said to Pete Buttigieg, like, I wish we could all be as perfect as you, which was one that caused some gasps in the room where I was watching the debate last night. And you know, they're clearly both competing for that moderate lane of voters along with Joe Biden. It seems like Elizabeth Warren might want to be playing there a little bit as well. She seems to not want to be quite as far left as Bernie Sanders, at least last night. And of course, Mike Bloomberg. And to echo what others have said, for weeks now, for months, a couple of months, Bloomberg has sort of almost existed as that idea over the hill for Democrats. Like, you know, it was all about ads, hundreds of millions of dollars. So he was, you know, sort of the idea that he would be the alternative to Joe Biden, but Democrats weren't getting up to know him up close and personal. And as someone who covered him here in New York, last night's debate performance didn't surprise me that much. I mean, the names Mark Green, Freddie Ferrer, Bill Thompson, that's who he took on in the three New York City mayoral debates. Not exactly the list of heavyweights like he saw last night. And he was rusty. He's not someone who responds well to challenges from advisors. And perhaps we'll learn in the days ahead that, you know, that they didn't like his answer to NDAs, but he stuck with it because it was certainly a disaster. Disaster last night, and he was knocked down a few pegs. He no longer was this sort of just the image on our televisions in the ads, but rather humanized to the point where he was, when was the last time Mike Bloomberg had to raise his hand to get attention anywhere? And we saw that last night. And while he did rally in the second hour, he really stumbled in that first hour, and one wonders if his myth has been punctured a little bit.
Yep. News on 93.1, Dan Marr Show heading to the top of the hour break. We'll be back right after this.
Chevrolet Master Control Center. This is WACV Cusada News Talk 93.